WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Sidewalk in Manhattan on Christmas Day, injuring six people. More from CBS News New York's Alicia Reed.
When we got up and ripped the fender off, I thought, and I think a couple people thought, it was just a little boy that was there.
Onlookers quickly realized a woman, believed to be the boy's mother, was also under the carriage. Witnesses say they're visiting from Australia.
That's horrible.
She was coherent. She was talking to her son, smiling, trying to kind of help keep him calm.
The taxi driver is being evaluated. The first night of Hanukkah fell on Christmas Day this year, the first time that's happened in almost 20 years. CBS News Texas reporter Olivia Leach spoke with a family that's celebrated both holidays.
In the Kelmanson family, they play with dreidels and decorate a Christmas tree.
Growing up, for me, I celebrated both. My dad's Jewish and my mom's Christian.
But her husband, Greg, wasn't used to that.
I married Greg, who is also Jewish, and so we get to do the same thing with our children, which is really cool. It's like a full circle.
There is little joy in the Middle East this year because of the ongoing war between Israel and Hamas in Gaza. CBS's Imtiaz Tayyab reports from Jerusalem.
While at the Deir al-Latin Church in Gaza City, which has become a safe haven for hundreds of Palestinian Christian families displaced by the war, there were glimmers of holiday cheer at Christmas Mass. But hearts here are heavy.
At least 29 out of 67 people on board have survived a plane crash in Central Asia. The passenger jet was flying from Azerbaijan to Russia when it crashed in Kazakhstan. Details from CBS's Chris Livesey.
In this remote Central Asian city off the Caspian Sea, the ground strewn with wreckage and the dead. Cell phone footage posted online shows passengers on board the plane before the crash. It appears there's damage to the wing and oxygen masks in use.
There have been multiple tributes around the world marking 20 years since the Boxing Day tsunami that killed an estimated 230,000 people in 14 countries. The story from reporter Scott Maben in Australia.
It was a natural disaster on a catastrophic scale.
Prime Minister Anthony Albanese.
With the force that still has the power to shock. Two decades later,
a tsunami tore through Indian Ocean countries. India, Sri Lanka, Thailand, and Indonesia bore the brunt of the devastation that followed. A memorial in Canberra has been busy with those who've paid their respects.
It's the deadliest natural disaster of the century. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
The Bucks back in action. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks at home tonight in Milwaukee against the Nets. The Bucks are 16-12, 10-4 at home, heading in the right direction. Bobby Portis credits head coach Doc Rivers for the turnaround.
Sometimes when you have a coach that instills confidence in you, it's easy to go out there and play. I played on teams where the coach don't want you to shoot. You know, sometimes you have coaches that have different philosophies and different ways of coaching, and I think his way of coaching kind of instills confidence.
College basketball, the Marquette Golden Eagles taking some time off. Their next game is on New Year's Eve. Marquette ranked 8th in the nation. They don't face another ranked team until after January when they host number 11th ranked UConn in Milwaukee. NFL, the Packers holding practice preparing for Minnesota on Sunday. And in college football, a report says the Badgers are losing running back Tawie Walker to the transfer portal. Walker led the team in rushing with 864 yards and 10 touchdowns. Receiver Will Pauling accepting an offer from Notre Dame. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. In trying to make Christmas sexy news, Kim Kardashian has put out a new music video. The reality TV personality released a video under her brother-in-law Travis Barker's label. She used a breathy version of her own rendition of Santa Baby, one of the worst Christmas songs ever, and put images of herself crawling through a party in a blonde wig and skin-colored jeggings. I'm not sure if she realizes it either, but her cleavage was totally showing. I'm sure she's going to give that editor an earful. In the video, there's a donkey, Mary and Joseph, people fighting, people raking money, and a bonfire while people play Twister. For what seems like an eternity, Kim crawls through the chaos with her own singing as a backdrop until she finally stops between Santa's legs and looks up to find it's really Macaulay Culkin. The only good thing about the video is that her singing mercifully stops along with the music about midway through, so it's just her crawling with weird images. It's just something you have to see for yourself, folks. You can check it out free on YouTube, but you'll still want your money back. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
It is going to be foggy and drizzly today, but it is going to be a little warmer with a high in the upper 30s this afternoon. Tonight, cloudy with more fog and drizzle, 35. Tomorrow, cloudy and warmer with scattered areas of light rain. Our high tomorrow, 42. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 27.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Peach Wabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who writes checks his mouth can't cash, Pete Schwabba.
I'm not laughing at my own line that I wrote. I'm laughing at the way Todd delivers it. It's so funny. He is the voice of the network, ladies and gentlemen, Todd Michaels. He is also the producer of the Mino and the Mayor show here in the mornings. Check it out if you haven't. WGBW and WISS every morning. They do a great job. The threesome. Hey, welcome to Nightlight. This is a Wednesday edition. It is hump day, the week before Christmas. That's pretty exciting. Very cold out there, getting blustery. We are preparing for horrible weather, as I understand it. And make your plans accordingly, folks. But that doesn't mean you can't get Nightlight every night from 6 to 8. We will be here, rain or shine. We never close, basically, is what I'm trying to say. Conrad, how you doing tonight?
You know, I'm doing good. I got all my Christmas shopping done today.
Really?
Finally, yeah.
Did you do it online or was
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it was online.
Okay.
I did. I didn't buy anything actually in person first Christmas shopping this year.
Like, is that a first?
I think so. Like, because usually I'll go to like some store for Black Friday. This year I didn't.
It's so weird. You can't. It's like we just get lazier and lazier because of our devices. It's so easy to Christmas. Like, why would you want to go and stand in line behind someone who's doing or asking something crazy and be annoyed at shoppers? And I mean, it's so easy to do that.
Did I tell you, first time I did this, actually, I ordered all of my groceries at Walmart and they delivered it to my doorstep.
Oh, we did that during COVID.
It was That's amazing.
I know. I was Aldi like, wait, did that too.
Why didn't I do this before?
I never need to see anybody again.
Exactly.
I love the phrase. Kurt Vonnegut said something great. His wife said, why don't you just, he said, I got to go mail a letter at the post office. She said, we have stamps here. And he said, no, man was not meant to just stay in his house all the time. Man was meant to go out and fart around. That was its exact quote. And I just love it. So the minute you feel like you're getting too jaded to go out and be with humanity, that's when you got to fight it. But having said that, that's not scolding you. I'm glad you got your Christmas shopping done.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool. And not cutting it too close to the wire either, the week before. That's pretty good.
Well, one of them's coming one day before I have to go to Christmas. So.
And who is that for?
It's my sister-in-law's sister.
You're buying a gift for your sister-in-law's sister?
It's a whole, like, gift exchange, you
okay.
know? We like draw a name.
Grab bag, yeah.
Yep.
Wow, that's a wide network.
It is, yeah.
My sister-in-law's sister's best friend's cousin. That's kind of cool.
Yep.
Well, she wanted a Snuggie. That's awesome. A Snuggie? I've never tried one. I've never had the pleasure.
I was just kidding about the cousin thing, you know, way over there.
All right. We have a really fun show tonight. I'm excited. I've been trying to have this first guest on. He's coming on at 6:35, James Maloff. He is part of the Civic Media team. He's the program director at WFHR and a morning host over there, and he is going to be on the show tonight. He's also an actor, so we'll talk to James about
radio and acting and get to know him a little bit. I'm excited to have him on the show tonight. And then I have one question for you, listeners and Conrad. Are you ready to rock? Conrad.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
Question.
No. Kill that.
He said question. I'm sorry.
No, I'm introducing the guests. I'm teasing the guests. But
you said question. That triggered me.
You just hear question, you go right to the... We'll get to that. Yeah. I appreciate the enthusiasm. But no, our guest tonight, Radio for Pets, they will be here, and they are going to rock the place. Are they coming in at 7:05 or 7:20?
7:20.
7:20. Really?
Yep.
I don't know if that's enough time for Radio for Pets.
They did four segments last time.
Yeah, they did, and they played like three songs, and it was awesome. That's all right. We'll adjust. We'll get them. If they get here a little early, we can get them on early. That's fine. I'm just happy to have them here. They're so great. They're a punk band, Green Bay-based, and kind of Marinette Menominee-based. So we'll have them in studio. Very excited for these guys. I really believe they're going places. They've got upcoming shows to talk about. They're also looking for a new drummer, which is kind of cool.
I'm ready.
Yeah, get the sticks out, man.
I actually did try drumming when I was younger. My parents got me a drum set, and then maybe touched it twice.
Yeah, I don't know that that qualifies you to be the drummer, but hey.
Hey, I had a drum set.
It's worth a try. So there you go. Great guest. James Maloff from WFHR here in Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network and Radio for Pets in studio. Very exciting. It's like Christmas came early with these guests. And since Conrad is so anxious, let's get to tonight's question.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
What is your favorite Spielberg film? It is Steven Spielberg's birthday today. I believe he turns 78 or 79. One of the most prolific filmmakers in Hollywood. He makes blockbusters, but he's also made some really cool, more indie-leaning films, too, that a lot of people probably don't know about. So Steven Spielberg, a titan in show business, I figured we had to have a question. And he's made enough movies where even a novice moviegoer would probably know his work. So that's our question of the night. What is your favorite Steven Spielberg film? Let us know at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can text us on the app. You can text us on the stream. How can people text us on the stream, Conrad?
Yeah, so we're on Facebook, WISS, WGBW, and Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. On YouTube, we're WGBW or Civic Media. And on Twitter, Civic Media or WGBW.
Message us any way you can, folks, but don't hold back. Just message us, and we'll read your text on the radio. I'll start off. I'm not a huge, he's not like my favorite filmmaker, but it's hard to argue with his track record and his longevity in the entertainment business. But I'm going to say my favorite Steven Spielberg film is a movie called Duel with Dennis Weaver, where he gets into kind of a cat and mouse game with a truck driver. Driving through, I think it's the West. I saw this movie 30 years ago, probably, maybe longer. I think I was a kid when I saw it with my dad. And it was just on like the movie of the week or whatever. But what a cool movie. I remember being really freaked out when I saw it, like that could happen, like where a trucker just gets it in his head that he's going to try to make you crash or go off the road. And they battle or duel throughout the film. Really good film from like the early 70s, maybe 1971. A close second would be Catch Me If You Can.
Yes.
Love the movie. Leo DiCaprio, Tom Hanks. Absolutely, almost a flawless film, in my opinion. And this one might be controversial. I loved War of the Worlds, the remake with Tom Cruise. I thought it was great. And I know audiences, like on Rotten Tomatoes, I looked it up earlier, it got like a 42% from audiences. Did much better with critics. And it's, you know, maybe hard to watch at times. But I loved it. I thought it was really good. And then fourth place, consolation, I have to go with one of the I'm not even going to pick which one. Insert Indiana Jones film here because it's just such a fun franchise. And the first two were great, I thought. I love, it's just like the perfect movie theater movie. So let me know what your favorite Steven Spielberg movie is tonight. That's our question of the night. Conrad, what do you think? Where are you going?
You know, when I was thinking about this before, I totally forgot that Catch Me is his film. Catch Me If You Can. So that's my number one. That's my favorite movie of all time, actually.
Catch Me If You Can.
Yeah.
Nice.
I love that movie. I can put it on anytime, and I'm just invested into the story every single time again.
Yeah.
It's so good. But a second is for me is Ready Player One, which is based on a book, and it's about, like, in the future, like 2045, I believe, everyone just escapes through virtual reality.
Okay.
And it's all like huge place where people all can meet. Kind of like what Meta is doing, I guess.
Yeah.
But more advanced than the movie. And the creator of it, before he died, passes a message saying, whoever finds my golden egg will win my company, my, you know, everything.
Huh.
So that's like the whole movie is like everyone trying to figure it out, you know. So
I have not seen that.
One of my favorite movies in the past decade, I'd say. It's great. And I liked it so much that I read the book and I started reading the second one as well.
You're one of the few people, not few people, I don't take a survey, it's not scientific, but you seem to gravitate towards the book after you see the movie, which is interesting.
Because my mom used to read a lot, or she just still does, but she'd always say the Harry Potter movies aren't identical to, like, you know, the book.
Yeah.
And I'd always be like, I wonder if the book is actually like this or not, or how much they made a difference in the movie, you know?
I am curious to see this. I have not seen Ready Player One. I hadn't even heard of it. But the actor, when I was at that wedding this past weekend in Chicago, my son and I were watching Mud, Matthew McConaughey and Ty Sheridan, a really good movie, kind of a hidden gem that I really enjoyed. That was my second time seeing it. And Ty Sheridan is in Ready Player One. I thought he was really good in Mud. But yeah, I'll have to check this out. It looks pretty cool. But let us know what your favorite Spielberg film is. He's certainly got a big enough library to choose from. I apologize for my voice ahead of time. I have the chills. I'm wearing my coat tonight.
Yeah, if you're on the stream, you're like looking at Pete with a coat on.
I'm like ready for action here. No, I went home last night and I literally sat in the shower for 20 minutes, and that is the way to do it, folks. My water bill will be $1,000 next month, but I don't care. It feels great. And here I was shooting my mouth off to everybody saying I hadn't been sick since before COVID. I don't think I've had COVID. At least I've never tested positive for it. And then I'm in a car all weekend with my wife coughing because she was sick. And I'm like, it was just a matter of time. So I'm not totally sick. I feel a little under the weather, but we'll get through this. I'm talking about myself like I fought in a war or something. So I got texts from you, Conrad. Oh, yeah, we got to talk about a couple things. Thank you for the reminder. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have not taken part in Civic Media's latest text to win contest, it's the grown-up gift list. Listen weekdays at 7 a.m., 11 a.m., 1 p.m., and 4 p.m. for the keywords to text for your chance to win in our grown-up gift list, statewide text to win contest. You could win $100 cash, a Chula Vista overnight stay, and be entered to win in one of 8 grand prizes on our grown-up gift list, including new luggage, a humidifier, and a remote vacuum. All very practical items. The overnight stay is nice, too, and who doesn't need $100 cash? You just get the keyword, folks, and then you text in, and you're eligible to win. It's a great contest. James Maloff is here, and Radio for Pets is in the studio. It's going to be exciting. When we come back, I'm going to tell you what creature someone says could take over the world. You're not going to want to miss this. If humans go extinct, this is the creature. And that's coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. A new study by Pew Research finds Americans broadly support such democracy reforms as making Election Day a holiday and 2 weeks of in-person early voting, but also think voters must use government-issued ID and voting machines should have paper backup. Pew surveyed over 5,100 American adults in January 2024 from a pool which reflects the demographics of the U.S. It found an increasing number of Americans, 72%, supported making Election Day a national holiday, and 76% supported 2 weeks of in-person early voting. The public is split, however, on having a choice for mail-in voting, with 57% supporting and 41% opposing. Among Republicans, support for mail-in voting dropped in 4 years from 49% to 28%, likely in response to former President Donald Trump's baseless fraud claims. While voting rights groups have tried to protect voting for the elderly, disabled, and students, 81% of Americans support voting only with a government-issued ID, up among all partisan stripes. Support for Election Day registration and automatic voter registration through the DMV declined slightly since 2021, but is down 10% among Republicans. Pew also found notable differences among younger adults and communities of color who are more likely to support early voting, mail-in voting, and automatic and Election Day registration. We have a link to the full Pew survey at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
UW Systems spends $51 million of our taxpayer money for consultants. Three times the budget shortfall that triggered the Oshkosh layoffs in 2023. Why is there such silence from Democrats in the state capitol on this? Ask people in Richland Center, Waukesha, Washington County, if they got their $51 million worth for the UW system.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Love. I get so lost sometimes.
Welcome back. Our question tonight is, what is your favorite Steven Spielberg movie? It is the famed director's birthday. He turns 78, I believe, today. And that's our question of the night. He's got a big enough body of work where I feel like even people who haven't seen a ton of films will know or have a favorite of his. So kicking things off is Eric from Lodi. He says, just for the sheer classic fun of it, is Raiders of the Lost Ark. That's kind of how I feel, Eric. But he says, but Schindler's List was his most impactful and devastating film for me. Hard to argue with that as well. Great film. But yeah, I think Raiders of the Lost Ark, to me, that might be the defining film of my childhood as far as going to a theater and watching a movie with a packed house and everybody just so into it. Such a fun film. Great leading man in Harrison Ford. Great other characters in the film surrounding him. Just a really fun film. Eric also agrees with Conrad. Ready Player One is great. Eric from Lodi has seen everything.
He has.
He might know everything.
I wonder if he's read the second book as well.
I wouldn't doubt it. Monica from Mount Horeb, she's in the 608. She says, had to look up the list, Bridge of Spies or The Color Purple. Color Purple is another great one. You know, and maybe that would be up there for me, but I haven't seen it in so long. And I think I saw it incrementally, which is a tough way to watch a movie, but great answer. Monica, Anna in Madison, she says, hi, Pete and Conrad. My favorite Steven Spielberg movie is Saving Private Ryan. Tom Hanks was outstanding. It's a very emotional movie. I agree. And Tom Hanks was great, but the peripheral characters or the supporting cast in that film, to me, stole the movie too. Like, Tom Hanks is Tom Hanks. So sometimes he's so good, I don't even notice his performances. And it's the people around him that stand out because I'm so used to Tom Hanks. It's like expecting a good game out of Michael Jordan so that when other players step up, you recognize them even more almost. But I remember in Saving Private Ryan, it was Adam Goldberg was great. When he's in a fight, a knife fight with that Nazi, and he gets stabbed. I mean, it was just so powerful. And Giovanni Ribisi, the medic. Was he the medic or was he the guy that died? His stomach was bleeding? I can't even remember. It's been a while since I've seen the film. Ed Burns was in the movie. Ed Burns, I really like as an actor. Yeah, great answer, Anna. And then Todd Michaels weighs in and says Color Purple with 4 exclamation points. So you know Todd's not messing around. That is definitely his favorite film of Spielberg. Thank you, Todd. Steve, Conrad's dad checking in, says Back to the Future is a great Spielberg original. Is that a Spielberg film? I thought it was Robert Zemeckis. Well, it's a great movie either way. So thank you for that, Steve. Yeah. Love Back to the Future. One of my favorite all-time movies, actually. Bridget from the 818 says, The Color Purple. It touched me so deeply, could not hold back the tears. I usually don't cry at the movies. Incredible. I would say The Color Purple is our big winner so far. Eric from Lodi chimes in again and says, picking a favorite Spielberg movie is like picking a favorite Civic Media radio host. It just can't be done. I think we'll take like a 20-way tie, Eric. There's nothing wrong with that. And thank you for listening to all the shows so you can make that comment. That's awesome. Get in on the fun, folks. What is your favorite Steven Spielberg film? It is his birthday today, and that is our question tonight. So let us know. All right, so I read this article, and I couldn't believe this. I think it was on Yahoo Entertainment. And it said, in the event of an extinction where human beings are wiped off the face of the earth, octopuses would dominate. And a lot of people thought, this is from Earth.com, actually, by way of Yahoo Entertainment. It said, no mammals would probably still exist, maybe whales, but I mean no land mammals, because some people might say primates, but they would probably suffer the same wrath of nature that humans would. And they said octopuses, this is crazy, eight-legged creatures. Tim Coulson, a professor at the University of Oxford, his argument hinges on that octopuses' dexterity, curiosity, ability to communicate with each other, and supreme intelligence. So the thinking would be they could create some kind of Atlantis underwater world, and they would be the dominant creatures left on Earth if humans are ever forced into extinction. I would not have guessed that. Now, octopuses, it says, only live a year and a half to 5 years is their life expectancy. So they got to strike while the iron is hot. They got to get a lot done. They can't, yeah. They don't have time to look at their phones or watch ESPN Sports Center every night. They've got things to do. That's crazy. I had no idea they were that intellectual, but they're great hunters. They can camouflage themselves. Have you ever seen an octopus up close, Conrad?
Yeah, I can't remember if I was, my cousin and I went octopus hunting in Australia. Or
underwater?
Fishing, yeah. And he got inked.
Wait a minute.
That's a squid, isn't it? Or wait, I don't
know. Maybe, but maybe an octopus too. I don't know enough about octopuses.
Well, we caught one and it inked all over my cousin.
I have no desire to go underwater. It really creeps me out.
Yeah.
So I'm impressed that you did that.
Well, we were on a boat. No, we were on a boat. We caught it fishing, and then, yeah.
So you weren't deep sea diving.
No. No, definitely not.
I actually have more respect for you knowing that now, that you were not under the water and that you got inked. Wow, that's insane.
And then we cooked it up and tried it.
You ate it?
I did it. I couldn't do it because it just looked weird to me, but everyone else tried it.
Well, that's like calamari, right? Is squid.
Yeah, I haven't tried calamari either.
But seeing the octopus die and then eating it would be a different story. Like when they bring calamari out to your table, it's like, okay.
Well, I like fish, and I've caught fish before and ate them. So
sure,
but I can't say I've done the octopus route.
Great movies opening this weekend. There's a lot of great things coming to the theaters, and not typically like Christmas movies. But a lot of really cool films. The Brutalist opens in limited release. Couple family films, Sonic 3, King Mufasa, or just Mufasa, I think it's called. And the guy from Rebel Ridge plays the voice. Did you know that?
I didn't.
Yeah. Versatile guy. And then The Fire Inside, about a female boxer from Flint, Michigan, who won the first gold medal in the Olympics. That sounds great. Nosferatu, if you're looking for something. And they're all reviewing well. Timothy Chalamet's film, A Complete Unknown, opens next Christmas Day next week. As does, what's the other one? Oh, Nosferatu opens Christmas Day too. All right, we are going to come right back, folks, with James Maloff. He will be here after Civic Media's award-winning news team tells you what's up. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Use a little more
and we will. You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
CBS News Brief. It was 20 years ago today when an earthquake triggered an Indian Ocean tsunami that killed 230,000 people in 14 countries. The BBC's Jonathan Head in Bangkok says it's been a long recovery.
It needed the most enormous aid effort
to help these places recover. Sometimes we wept with them. You just couldn't help but be overwhelmed.
Israeli airstrikes have killed at least 21 people in Gaza, including some Palestinian journalists.
Palestinians say at least 5 journalists were killed when an Israeli airstrike struck their van near the Al Auda hospital in central Gaza.
Reporter Linda Gradstein. Israel claims it attacked a vehicle filled with Islamic Jihad militants. Tomorrow night's Mega Millions jackpot will be an estimated $1.15 billion after no one won the Christmas Eve drawing.
The odds of winning the Mega Millions jackpot are at 1 in 302 million.
CBS's Courtney Keeley says it'll be the 5th largest Mega Millions jackpot ever. CBS News Brief, I'm Michael Wallace.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
The Bucks back in action. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks at home tonight in Milwaukee against the Nets. The Bucks are 16-12, 10-4 at home, heading in the right direction. Bobby Portis credits head coach Doc Rivers for the turnaround.
Sometimes when you have a coach that instills confidence in you, it's easy to go out there and play. I played on teams where the coach don't want you to shoot. You know, sometimes you have coaches that have different philosophies and different ways of coaching, and I think his way of coaching kind of instills confidence.
College basketball, the Marquette Golden Eagles taking some time off. Their next game is on New Year's Eve. Marquette ranked 8th in the nation. They don't face another ranked team until after January when they host number 11th ranked UConn in Milwaukee. NFL, the Packers holding practice preparing for Minnesota on Sunday. And in college football, a report says the Badgers are losing running back Tawee Walker to the transfer portal. Walker led the team in rushing with 864 yards and 10 touchdowns. Receiver Will Pauling accepting an offer from Notre Dame. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Sequels led the way at last weekend's domestic box office. Sonic the Hedgehog 3 led the way with $62 million and was followed up by Mufasa, the Lion King prequel, which finished with a disappointing $35 million at the U.S. box office, despite playing on 400 more screens than Sonic. Despite grabbing second place in the U.S., Mufasa was number one globally with a take of $122 million. Finishing in third place was the juggernaut Wicked, which pulled in $13.5 million at the box office, putting its grand total domestically at about $400 million. Wicked leapfrogged Moana 2, which finished in fourth place with $13.1 million at the box office. The borderline religious film Homestead finished in fifth place with $6.6 million despite not so great reviews. The Brutalist, a 3.5-hour film that actually has an intermission, opened in limited release and pulled in $266,000, which doesn't sound like a lot, but it was only on 4 screens. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is going to be foggy and drizzly today, but it is going to be a little warmer with a high in the upper 30s this afternoon. Tonight, cloudy with more fog and drizzle, 35. Tomorrow, cloudy and warmer with scattered areas of light rain. Our high tomorrow, 42. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 27.
The Dom Salvia Show.
How about this one? Harvey Kay, a Delano Democrat.
The problem with that is that was his mother's family name. You might not realize that he had a father, too.
Come on, man.
Subscribe to my arguments and you can call a Dom Democrat.
All right, I'll take a Dom Democrat. But Franklin Delano Roosevelt, a big favorite here on the show.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
UW Systems spends $51 million of our taxpayer money for consultants. 3 times the budget shortfall that triggered the Oshkosh layoffs in 2023. Why is there such silence from Democrats in the state capitol on this? Ask people in Richland Center, Waukesha, Washington County, if they got their $51 million worth for the UW system.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
There's nothing that gets you more pumped up for a new segment in radio than Spandau Ballet. No, that's not Spandau Ballet. Who is that? Is that that's the sampling one, right?
I mean, the song Set Adrift.
Set Adrift. Yeah. All right. So that's not quite. Actually, I like Spandau Ballet, and I'm not terribly embarrassed to admit that. But checking our text line again, Eric from Lodi. I'm sorry, Paula. Conrad's mom checks in. It's hard to pick just one. E.T., Bridge of Spies, and Catch Me If You Can. Great one, Paula. Neil from Glendale says, Saving Private Ryan, so powerful and exhausting. Wanted to take my dad with me to see it. He wouldn't go. He served in World War II, but in the Pacific. Said he lost too many friends in Europe, and the movie was too real for him. He was correct. That's Neil. Thank you, Neil. Sherry from Horicon says, good evening, Pete and Conrad. Good evening, Sherry. I agree, too. I know people that served, like, in Vietnam, and they didn't want to go see movies that dealt with Vietnam. And one of my friends, Ted, said, you know, I don't want to see it because I've done okay dealing with it. So why would I go and put myself in that position and risk having some type of, you know, episode where he has these horrible memories coming back to him? Okay, ladies and gentlemen, this is exciting. All right, Radio for Pets is here in the second hour. They're going to rock the studio like you have not heard this studio rocked. These guys are great. And right now I'm excited because this is the first time I've had this next guest on the show. I've been trying to get him on the show for a while, and we just couldn't make it work, but he is here tonight, and we made it work. James Maloff, he is the program director at WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids and part of the Civic Media family. James, how are you?
Doing good, man. How are you?
I'm doing very well. What's going on over in Wisconsin Rapids tonight that we need to know about?
Tonight, we usually have you on right now, but we tonight we actually have the Wisconsin head basketball coach Greg Gard, his sports show that he does weekly on Wednesday. So we have that playing right now. But otherwise, our team is resting because we'll be hard at it tomorrow with doing nonstop radio content.
Yeah,
and everything we do.
That's exciting too for Christmas. I love what they're doing here with the 24 hours of Christmas music. Everybody gets the day off. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's nice. For you know, a lot of us that have been in radio for a long time, it's kind of nice. Didn't always used to be that way. It's
right.
Kind of cool that you can give your staff that. It's good to see more of that just in the business world, really.
Right, for sure. Is there anything exciting in Wisconsin Rapids happening regarding Christmas over the next few days? Any big events coming up we can tell listeners about?
We've kind of gotten through a lot of our events. We have a number of signature events that we do that have kind of wrapped up for now, but we're all geared up for that for next year. We did have something really exciting kind of go on with our recently. It doesn't sound like a lot, but we had the lights put on our bridges. And they are the coolest looking thing. And they have really, I think, added to a lot of the energy, the vibe, and how the city looks. And I had the mayor of Wisconsin Rapids on today on one of our shows and talking with him about it. It's one of the major things that most cities are trying to do right now in keeping people and bringing people in. And part of how you do that is having a city people want to be in. It's not rocket science, you know, and it's not to necessarily say you make a town look pretty and everybody's going to move there, but it helps. It helps, you know, keeping people in and giving people something, you know, that to be proud of for their area.
Definitely. It's such a beautiful town. I've been through there several times and just a great part of the state. All right. So tell me, how did you end up at the award-winning, I might add, WFHR? You guys won a slew of awards at the Wisconsin Broadcasting Awards. That's pretty exciting. And that must have made you proud as program director.
Beyond. I walked into that. I've never been up for or won awards before or anything. So just being there, I already felt good. But then when we walked in and we get these pamphlets and everything, and I'm seeing that we're WBA members and things like that, I'm like, okay, well, we can't lose tonight. We're already good. And then we did end up doing fairly well. And honestly, I know it's going to sound a little corny, but I felt so good for our listeners, for our team. And I don't mean just WFHR, but Civic. And what we're trying to do here and what Sage has invested in us emotionally, financially, obviously, making all of us proud and making the team proud and showing what we offer. That's what really felt good about it. I don't I think awards are cool for what they are, and I think that they can do a lot of things for you as a career and all that. But at the end of the day, man, some of the stuff is a little silly. It's a little. I'm a nut about acting and entertainment, and I've wanted to do it since I was seven. And I've watched the Oscars since I was a kid. But I'll be honest, it's never made sense to me how you decide this actor did better than this actor when they have to do completely universally different things to play these roles. It's one thing if you're saying, well, this is the best running back in football. Well, okay, they all played running back. That, you know, right. You're going against other running backs. How you compare Tom Hanks' role in Philadelphia with the people that he was up against that year. It's hard to compare these things.
Right.
It's such an opinion-based thing, and as you know, and most people know, there's a lot of other things involved with the politics and who and all that.
Yeah. No, that's very well said. I'm kind of with you. Like, I've won so few awards in my life. To put them up on the mantle, it would look sparse. So I just tuck them into my office, and
I hope one day to have a reason to put a shelf up just for the,
Well, you guys are on your way. That's pretty cool. You're also the host of the morning show. Do you like those hours? You like getting up that early?
I'm a night owl.
Yeah.
My poor parents would tell you I've been like nocturnal since I was a baby. I just don't sleep at night. Doing a morning show is not always the greatest idea, let alone two morning shows like I do. I do an hour sunrise show on 105.5 WIRI, then I go over to WFHR, do 2 hours there, go right from that into recording Midday Magazine. But it's honestly, after a while of doing it, I like days off, I don't really know what to do with myself. And as far as I don't know if I'd choose different hours or not, but I like getting people at that time of day. I like the idea of being able to start people. I look at it as serious comedy. I look at it as trying to start people's day on a positive note, not burying our head in the sand, but maybe not also spending 20 hours on a particular subject that people are already tired of by the time they're waking up in the morning.
Yeah, great answer. I'm kind of with you. I'm a night owl, but I also love the early morning. So you kind of have to pick a lane when you're like that.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
I mean, it is what it is, I guess. So I was looking up, kind of what you do and what you do in Wisconsin Rapids, and you're like a really busy guy there. But you also are an actor, as you mentioned. How is that? How is being an actor from Wisconsin Rapids? Because I've lived in two really huge cities. It's hard enough to do it when you're around it all the time. I can't even imagine. And, now I try to do it from here too, but how do you go about it? How do you get your name out there? How do you get recognized when you are in this kind of remote area?
I try to go viral. No, I,
don't we all?
Right. Yeah. I spent a lot of time from Illinois and spent a lot of time and have a lot of connections in Chicago and do still talk with a lot of people down there in talent agencies. And I spent a good year or two in California and a little bit more time back and forth there. So I lean on some of those contacts.
Okay.
Nowadays you're fortunate that there's a number of places and studios that do, let you do an audition on Zoom or Skype or something like that. It's not the same. As you can tell from my IMDb page or lack thereof, it hasn't been working that well.
I'm so looking you up right now.
There is, yeah. I'll save you time. There ain't none. At the same time, I think that I wouldn't want to discourage anybody because I do think that it's more possible now than it's ever been. Whether you're creating a YouTube page or whatever, not that we've seen anybody necessarily take that to the red carpet.
Right.
But I think that those worlds are colliding more and more, whether we like it or not. I think that you're going to see more of that kind of thing happening. For me, the way I make it work is trying to travel to, especially Chicago or Milwaukee, Madison, anywhere I need to go for an audition, showing the effort and keeping at it. I think you'd know this even better than I would, maybe. But I feel like the biggest difference between the people that we know their names and we see them work consistently and the people we've never heard of, a lot of that has to do with connections and what your last name is. But more than anything, being relentless. Like, right. I love radio. Radio has given me a home, a career. It has saved me in many ways. but acting is my passion. That's my love. And I'm relentless about it. I want to be one of the greats. I have nothing to stand on really as far as what I'm saying, but I don't feel any differently than when I was a kid, and I want to be one of the greats to ever do it. I want to constantly get better as an actor. I want to work with great people so I can get better. And in order to do that, you've got to have a career. You got to work in film, TV, and all that.
I absolutely love the honesty in that answer. That is fantastic. And it's interesting you say that, because I kind of shelved acting for a while, and it was sort of COVID. And I signed with a new agency in Chicago, and COVID helped me. I go, oh, I can do this from here. I can put myself on tape. That's totally acceptable now. Whereas before, I remember driving to Chicago for auditions, and I'm like, and I just didn't have the energy for it. So I think people like us have a second chance at all of this with doing stuff online, which is great. I saw that you've done some stage work too. What do you prefer when it comes to acting, live audiences or film?
If there are any film directors listening, Phil, I have a lot of respect for, and getting to do a very little of it, but getting to do some work on film, TV, and movie and stuff. The things that I've gotten to do, it's a whole different art, and there's such a cool skill to it and energy to it. But there is, to me, in order to be good at this or to call yourself a true actor, you got to do it live. You got to be on stage. And there's nothing like, you get one take, you go out there, you got to make it. You got to make it happen. I fell in love with theater really quickly. And I think I'd be all right if I'd never, worked in a lot of films or TV or anything. But I wouldn't be able to handle not doing theater. I love theater.
My guest is James Maloff. He is the program director at WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids, part of the Civic Media family, and the host of two morning shows there and a magazine show. And he's a very hardworking guy. What is the theater community like in central Wisconsin or Wisconsin Rapids? Now that we've gone there, is there a healthy activity there?
Yeah. There are local theater, Wisconsin, my second home, Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater, celebrating their 50th season. They just wrapped up auditions last night for Arsenic and Old Lace, which auditioned for, and I don't know that it went well, which is really a shame because it's a dream role of mine. But that's going to go on either way and be a great show. The theater community is great. The theater itself is really good. What I think is just as exciting is the creative community in this area. And the amount of creatives there are, and how you're seeing more and more. You brought up the pandemic. I think I'm a big believer in finding silver linings. I think some of the silver linings of that are people having a lot of time on their hands and realizing, oh, I'm a lot more creative than I thought. Or, you know what, maybe I want to make a couple of bucks less and I'll open an Etsy shop and I'll do that. There's such a vibrant creative community in this area. And we have the Central Wisconsin Cultural Center. We have a number of different places that I think embrace that and want to push that, want to give people that opportunity of, hey, we care about the arts. The way that it has been in the past, I think it's getting better, not just here, but around the state.
I agree. And I'm happy to hear that about Wisconsin Rapids, because where I live in the Marinette area, we have the Theater on the Bay, and it's been around probably 50, maybe even more than 50 years, but it's just a hub of culture. And now that the university has closed there, we're all like desperately trying to figure out a way to keep this in the community, because you're right, it's so important. It adds so much to a community. We're going to do a very quick break here, and then we will have more with James Maloff. Maybe I'll even ask him what his favorite Steven Spielberg movie
is. I got it.
All right.
I got it for you.
All right. Fantastic. We'll be right back with more Nightlight with Peach Wabba. Great to have you with me on this Wednesday night on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stand by me.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for matinee on air. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Rudolph is a holiday classic, and there's a Wisconsin connection. Maury Laws composed music for the animated show in 1964. He continued arranging hundreds of songs from his Appleton home after leaving New York 20 years later. During that time, Laws created one quirky pop song. Do you know what it is? The answer coming up.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer is sort of where a lot of people's core Christmas memories come from.
Emily Locke with the Oshkosh Museum on holiday traditions around Rudolph. Laws worked for the TV production company behind the show and also wrote music for Frosty the Snowman. And about the silly song he composed. Yes, itsy bitsy teeny weeny yellow polka dot bikini. Laws died in 2019 at the age of 95, but his music lives on as a wonderful slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Cindy from Appleton.
Time Magazine has made the convicted felon the man of the year this year. Shame on them.
Time Magazine base their person of the year on impact and like newsmaking. The CEO assassination is pretty much the only news cycle that isn't entirely focused on Donald Trump, and yet it still relates to him because he has no health care policy.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Get up home. I want to drive them home. When you're feeling blue, I'm thinking just of you.
Steve from Florida clarified, saying Steven Spielberg was executive producer for Back to the Future. That is right. That I remember that now. Speaking of being in the water, Spielberg's Jaws makes you hesitant about swimming in salt water. Didn't stop Conrad from eating a squid that had just inked his cousin. All right. My guest is James Maloff. He is the program director at WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids and part of the Civic Media Broadcast Network here. And he hosts a couple morning shows, and he's an actor. He's a very busy guy. And we've got him on Nightlight now. So, James, the big question, what is your favorite Steven Spielberg film?
Raiders is a great mention. One of the first movies I saw in the theaters as a proud Jewish person, and more importantly, the son of a Jewish mother. I have to mention Schindler's List. But in all seriousness, just one of the greatest films you'll ever see, let alone his work. And I love The Color Purple. I think it's a great one and such a unique movie. But I'm going off board, and I might be the only person doing this, but I'm going to say Hook.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
I will admit journalistic integrity. I am the biggest, if not one of the biggest, Rob Williams fans you'll ever meet.
Okay.
He's if not the reason, one of the main reasons I'm an actor. I just loved his work. I liked him in that role so much. And the casting. It's actually one of my favorite Dustin Hoffman roles, just because it's such a unique play of Hook. We've never seen Hook like that. And him and Hoskins, their chemistry,
Bob Hoskins, yeah,
is so great. And the kids in that movie, like, it's just a fun movie. I'm not saying it's his best. I don't know. How do you say when you're talking about such a game changer like Spielberg? Yeah. How you can say this movie, you know, whether you're talking Jaws or any of these films that almost are genre changing, let alone game changing, and how many directors were influenced by him. It's tough to pick. I think you can't go wrong with a lot of his body of work.
Yeah.
But for me, if I look at the one that stood out to me that I enjoyed the most, it was Hook.
That's great. Yeah, I said War of the Worlds, the remake. I really liked it.
Too.
And a lot of people, not a lot of people, but I wouldn't say it's typically one of his most popular, but I love Duel. I mean, It's interesting what you say, because Jaws is considered oftentimes to be the movie that changed American cinema. It was the first blockbuster, and the auteurs and the directors that made films before that get annoyed when you talk about these big blockbusters. But Spielberg is great at those, and he's great at the smaller films. Like, I don't want to say Color Purple is a smaller film, but it's not a big, you know, action blockbuster. Yeah. Duel wasn't. So, yeah, it's hard to argue with his body of work, for sure.
I think there were directors, and there was some respect and attention in American cinema that the rest of the world was starting to pay. But I think it's because of a movie like that, and movies, you know, that came before it and stuff too, that really all of a sudden made it to where we became the trendsetters in many ways. We became the country that directors leave, or actors, directors, they come here to work. They come, you know, and a lot of that. Not to say it all started with him and that, but it was a big part of it.
You mentioned Robin Williams. My question was going to be, who are your influences in radio, and who are your influences in acting? I assume Robin Williams is one of your biggest, but do you have any others? And what about radio? Who did you look up to or aspire to be or take cues from?
Acting wise, I was seven. I saw Robin on Mork and Mindy, and he changed my life. I wanted to do what he could do for me in that moment. He took me out of my what I was in, the moment I was in, and all that. Did something that I wish I'd have had the chance to thank him for.
Yeah,
I've always loved Denzel Washington and the work that he does.
Great.
I love Jodie Foster a lot. I'm a big Jodie fan. I love Gary Oldman. Gary Oldman, especially in the sense that every time I watch him, I learn something.
Yeah.
Since I saw Robin in that, and knowing pretty young on that I wasn't going to Juilliard, I wasn't going to get no scholarship for anything like that. I started from a real young age of just studying acting. Like, if it's a commercial, if it's a movie, whatever it is, just trying to study these guys and learn as much as I can and soak up as much information from them. Same thing when in theater, where I'm working with good actors and I'm trying to learn from them and everything. Those actors I mentioned, every time I see them, whether it's a good movie or a bad movie, they don't get bad performances. Like, there are, and some of those actors, like a Denzel or something, I'll make the argument, they don't have a bad scene in their catalog,
right?
You know, and you can look at a couple of actors like that. I think Paul Newman and certain actors have certainly done that in their career. But as far as our generations or anything, those are the guys that stand out to me. I really enjoy their work.
You're right. And it's interesting because I'm probably a writer first, and I feel like you're only as good as the script and as the material. Like, you're right. Actors can do a bad scene, but if it's bad, it's typically not because of their acting. It's because the words are crap. They were given bad direction. I mean, I feel like, you know, when you are a director, you need material. When you're a producer, you need material. Actors could probably improv and still entertain you. And if you write a script, at least you have that to read. But producers and directors need that material. So that's a very interesting answer. And Robin Williams is a guy you just can't not pay attention to. Whenever he's on stage doing stand-up or in a movie, you're watching him. And I totally agree about Denzel Washington, too. Can you stick around for a few minutes after the news?
Sure.
Can we keep you for a little longer? Okay, fantastic. Yeah. We're having fun here tonight with James Maloff. He's part of the Civic Media family, the program director at WFHR. And we are going to do some news here. Civic Media will give you the information you need. It's the award-winning news team bringing you the news. And then we will be back with more of James Maloff and Radio for Pets. Conrad, you ready to rock?
My socks are going to be
I can tell.
Off.
That comes across. All right. It's Pete Schwab and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Earl Ingram.
Chuck from East Troy. Good morning to you, Chuck. You say what?
I have a bone to pick with you. Since my wife discovered Civic Media 2 years ago, we are addicted to Civic Media, and you are one of the ringleaders. So anyway, I just want to thank you. Have a good day.
Hey, Chuck, man, thank you very much for the call. Tell your wife I said thank you, and it's an honor and a privilege.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Wallace. 20 years ago today, a magnitude 9.1 earthquake triggered an Indian Ocean tsunami that killed 230,000 people. The BBC's Jonathan Head is in Thailand, one of 14 countries where remembrances are underway.
Every community is doing it in their own way. There's not a lot to analyze, apart from the lessons learned in terms of being prepared. It was simply something absolutely massive that traumatized communities, but from which most of them have made remarkable recoveries.
Israel has launched more deadly airstrikes in Gaza. Reporter Linda Gradstein has the latest.
In the first incident, Palestinians say at least five journalists were killed when an Israeli airstrike struck their van near the Al Auda hospital in central Gaza. They said the vehicle was clearly marked as a media van. The Israeli army said it was a targeted attack against Islamic Jihad gunmen. In a separate incident, at least five people were killed